Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hey guys, welcome back to Best Podcast in the World, Otakuology Podcast. With me, as always, my loving co-host. He may say that we're in a heterosexual love triangle. Feel like it's more of a square,
but love square. What? Why love square?
You know, because love's always squared.
Okay.
I feel like there's somebody out there that doesn't know that they love your missus and me yet. But when they do,
I don't think that's the case. But moving along.
I think so. Because right now we're more of a triangle.
It's more of a line, and you're off to the side. You're like my side piece.
Podcast is over. Leaving. Why I never. What?
Sorry.
Welcome back to... You just funny thing. I was like, who's been here longer, though? Who's been here longer? Okay.
Oh, I didn't know you were the jealous type.
Hell yes. Definitely a jealous type.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're going to have to get over that.
I mean, I know you'll hug me again, so, you know.
Maybe one day we'll see.
You know, the funny thing will be if I ever meet Tiffany, I feel like me and Tiffany will have that moment where, like, I'm running up to you in the field of daisies to, like, give you a hug, and I'll run past you and give Tiffany a
hug. I mean, okay, it's fine.
It'll be like, you forgot me, buddy. You forgot me.
I'm not the jealous type.
You're jealous type.
So
you'd be super jealous if we were hugging.
Anyways, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the next few episodes of Delicious in Dungeon.
Red Dragon Parts 1 and 2, to be exact.
That's true.
We are picking up directly off the last episode where they decided to plan an attack.
Right. They plan on their attack of taking out the Red Dragon.
I just have to say, in this particular episode, man, it was intense. So intense.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think the other thing that's pretty crazy is we see the Red Dragon, and it's not what people would really assume that a Red Dragon would think about, you know, because... I mean, we have the Chinese one, and we have, like, the regular one that everybody thinks about that has wings and everything, and this dragon has none of that.
It looked like a dragon, which is without wings. I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know if I was expecting wings or not. I mean, honestly, I didn't notice that it didn't have any wings.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, you know that there's that, you know, but... The party gets taken by surprise from the last episode.
This is true. They have to come up with a new route.
Yeah, and so their new route is... Go ahead.
And I wouldn't necessarily say that they got taken by surprise because they saw it. And, you know, I love this part because I think it would be something you and I would fucking do that would be fucking stupid. Where Sinchi's got his walker on his back and Leos has the metal spoons and he's almost like playing the drums to get the dragon's attention.
Yeah, he's like getting the dragon's attention and whatnot. And they get the dragon to run under this building. It's like an overpass or some kind. It's like a bridge or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, okay, Marcel, like, you know, blow up this thing. And they thought it was going to like basically knock out and kill the dragon. Which it's a cool scene. It's a really cool scene to see like how it blows up and shoots Marcel up into the air and she kind of like floats down. And they're like, oh yeah, thank goodness. You know, like the dragon's taken care of. Woo, that was easy. Little do they know. that the dragon is not dead.
From the last episode, we did get this whole thing where, like, we spent part of the episode of them planning how they were going to tire the dragon out by the time they got there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. We had this whole thing where they had to come up with a new route, you know, so they had to get there faster. Because, I mean, you know, we get the whole thing from Marcel, who's already scanning there. She's like, wait, you know, why is it coming here so fast?
Yeah, she's like, I'm not understand. Like, what's going on, you know? It's yeah, like very so much like we gotta set the trap early, you know, set it off early. And which is crazy. Like the animation they use in that particular the section, I really liked. Like the animation in this episode's really good.
Right. See, and I felt like this was another time whenever Studio Trigger really shined, because it did seem like Studio Trigger artwork.
No, they definitely shine in the action in this episode, and they make it really like intense and like nail biting at times. I feel like, there was a part of me that was like, huh, I wonder if they're actually going to survive at points,
right?
After the rubble falls on to the dragon, it gets back up, Sinchi, Chilchuck, and Laos get stuck under the dragon.
Yes.
It's basically they're like in a rock and a hard place. And so they're under the dragon. The dragon's trying to get to them. We find out that dragons click their tongue to ignite the fire, which reminded me of like a lighter, which was I thought was really funny to see.
Yeah.
And what?
Well, and that changes at different places. So
does it change with like different dragons?
Yeah, some of it changes with like different places, because like a rain of fire, it has to inhale and you see the fire burning, you know, so they always have that kind of pause period, and it's either they breathe in and they have to get enough to shoot it out, you know, or something's already ignited, or they have to click something together so their teeth are like flint, or, you know, they have some kind of weird muscle, or, you know, random stuff like that. Like they,
yeah,
that's just something about dragons using their fire.
So there was this is also coincide with the scene where they use Sinchi's walk to stop the fire.
Yes.
Like they use it as a shield, and he's like, oh my god, the heat is just going throughout the pan and like heating it evenly, and they burn their hands using it to like stop the fire, which I thought was funny. I thought it was gonna work. I mean, and it kind of does, but it kind of backfires on them.
I just think it was because it was Laos.
Yeah.
You know, since she had done it, I think it'd be a different outcome.
But since she pulls out his knife, and this is the knife we've seen him use quite a bit for preparing and cutting food, is it made out of the same material as his wok?
No.
It's not?
No, so the knife is made out of something even better than the wok.
Okay, because he was like, this can't cut through anything. So I thought it was like adamantium or something.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Like it's better, you know, it's better because his shield was adamantium, right? Or the wok. So the knife is like, I think they said the knife was mithril or something, which is almost like a throwback to the Lord of the Rings. It was a different kind of metal, and it was like supposed to be like even better than the wok. And I was like, what?
Nothing beats adamantium. Come on.
That's what you think, right?
Adamantium is the strongest metal there is.
That's what you think, right?
Except for vibranium. Vibranium kind of beats adamantium.
Well, and then you got that weird strange metal that's like a combination of both and Asgardian metal. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We could talk about metals all day, you know.
But anyways, so Sinchi is like, you know, take this knife. It can stab the dragon. I think they stab it. No,
he stabs it in the toe.
He stabs it in the toe. Yeah, that's right. And Laos' sword like freaks out.
Yes.
And it just jumps away. And they're like, what the fuck, Laos? Like, Chilchuck is like, what's going on? Why did your sword just move away from, you know, what's in your sword? You know, he starts to put things together from previous episodes. And we see, you know, we get this big roaring speech from Senshi. And he's like, you know, Laos, you know, it's like be kill or be killed. You know, every monster has, you know, fought to the death, you know, and we have to fight to the death too. I'm going to go, you know, use myself as a distraction. I'm going to bring Chilchuck with me too, you know.
Right, yeah.
And Laos is like, no, you can't do that. It's such a big, like, heartwarming, uplifting section that, you know, Senshi would sacrifice himself for the good of the cause, basically.
Yes.
He's basically like, I'm going to go die so you can continue your quest type of thing. And he basically makes a break for it, takes Chilchuck with him, gets trampled in the process by the dragon. Like, the dragon, like, crushes Senshi down. And then Chilchuck tries to help him up. But he get before that, he takes the sword and throws it at Laos.
Yeah.
Which was really cool to see. Like, I loved seeing that happen. Like, that animation was, like, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he had to go find Marcel and tell her, hey, I got this corny idea. Can you use exploding magic again? And he uses Senshi's walk as like a burst plate where he puts it underneath the pad of where it's going to explode. Mm-hmm. And it fires him up into the air.
Yeah.
And he grabs onto the dragon's face.
He does. And it's a pretty cool like scene to see him get thrown up into the air. It reminds me of, do you remember like rocket jumping in like the original Halo? Where you would jump up in the air and shoot your rocket down directly into the ground and it would like shoot you up into the air.
I don't know.
You don't remember that? But that's what it reminded me of, was like rocket jumping.
See, and I never really played Halo, so.
Okay. That was a big thing back in the day.
What they kind of reminded me of is where somebody uses a pan or something, like in an mm-hmm. anime or like in a cartoon, and it'll either be like a volcano or it'll be like a geyser or something, and when it explodes, they'll be standing on it to throw them like off, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
no,
that's
I get
what
you.
That kind of made me think about. But yeah, I mean, that kind of reminded me of like where those things explode. But then we get the next shocking part, which is I think where Senshi's talk kind of really stirred Laos.
Yeah.
Where he got up and he uses the dagger to kind of like pin himself on the dragon's face. He's like, okay, now I got to get to the spot on the throat so I can kill this dragon.
Didn't Chilchuck blind it with the knife?
Yeah, he threw it at one of its eyes, so it was blinded on the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's the side that Laos like hooked himself onto.
This
still with the knife.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, I think Senshi's little chat really stirred something in Laos, because then he goes, yeah, we gotta think about the sacrifice. And he almost has to like not parkour, but like rock climb somehow, like do a rock climb maneuver to reach this throat.
Well, and
when he does it, he sticks his leg in the dragon's mouth so he can like bend over and get it in the throat.
He like bends back and like he's getting ready and he goes to stab it and he hesitates for a second. But he's like, no, I gotta go through with this. And he stabs the dragon, which is a, you know, heroic event, you know, his heroic move. And then the unthinkable happens. He gets his leg bitten off.
No, that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, but like you didn't. I didn't think it was gonna happen.
Yeah, no, that's supposed to happen because that's how he was going to be able to bend down to get to the throat.
I have to say, in this part where like it was a pretty crazy part, you know,
yeah,
to see him get his leg bitten off, and you know, Marcel is basically the last one standing in from the party, and she goes and he heals everybody up, and I love the scene where like when Chilchuck gets healed. He has like residual pain from getting healed too fast from a big wound, which causes Senshi to be like, no, don't fucking touch me.
Right.
Don't touch me. I can heal my own wounds. God damn it.
It itches.
It itches. Yeah. But that was a funny scene to see. But seeing her like basically take over the situation and stuff and like be able to like grow a body part back basically meld it like after it's been separated was crazy. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Even though I know like before we saw somebody get a hole in their head, you know, replaced and stuff. And
yeah,
I just didn't think like Leos's leg would like get healed.
Yeah. Well, I think it's two different kinds of magic, though, too. One's like a revival magic, which basically is almost like chronomancy or whatever.
Uh-huh. Necromancy? You know, like
no, it's called chronomancy. It's like time magic.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's kind of what Mr. Tetsu or whatever had, where he kind of like reversed what was going on with the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But then in this instance, I feel like it was like true healing magic where that happened. Because after Leos's leg gets put back on, he's got the big scar on it.
Yeah, well, for right now, he does.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to stay there.
Not when we get to the next episode. It goes away. After that. Because when we get to the episode, we can talk about it, basically. Because it wasn't like it wasn't like fully healed. Like at that point, because that was the best she could do at that time.
I thought she completely healed him, and it left the scar from where the
maybe was. With her magic. Yes, it did, but it gets removed in the next episode, which when we get to, we can talk about it. It's a big scene, I would think, you know, but. They go carving their way through the dragon, get the stomach out and stuff like that, which I guess it's pretty good that they had Senshi because he's a dwarf and it's like he was digging through the dragon, you know?
Like, yeah.
Like mining a cave.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like, which was also funny because it gets brought up. So I was kind of confused in the next episode why it wasn't heated, kind of, sort of. But where it was like, do we take torches in there? And he's like, no. You know, Marcel casts a light spell. And Leos tells Senshi that.
Yeah, because they remove, like, some gas thing or igniting thing or something that's in the dragon. I don't remember what.
It's ignition bladder or something.
Yeah, they remove that. And remind you, this dragon is huge.
Right.
And they finally get to the stomach. They cut through layers and layers to get to it.
Oh, with
this knife.
Because my fucking favorite scene of this was where they were doing it. And he goes, oh, we hit a bone. We'll have to go around it. And you're just sitting there thinking, like, how big is this dragon that you're tunneling through it and you have to go around a bone?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, whenever you alluded to it being like them tunneling like in a mine, like it makes sense.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. But they end up finding what's in the dragon's stomach. They cut it open. They find Fallon's staff. They find a couple of like, or they, I don't remember what they're called.
Wargs,
and then they find a human body, which turns out to be Fallon.
They don't find that in the stomach.
Where was that? The digestive tract?
Yeah, I think they find it in the large intestine.
Because the stomach was empty. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
The stomach was empty.
There's like, there's nothing in here.
I have to say, when we got to this part, I was like, well played, anime. This is a fucking twist.
What?
Fallon basically being dead.
Oh, that she wasn't in the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well played, because they said, you know, before that people can survive within a dragon for 3 weeks and they get digested or whatever it is, you know?
Right, right.
At least that's what they said. I don't know if I don't remember if it's something different or whatever, but they find Fallon and these other creatures and they get all the bones. They put all the bones back like the way they are. They find all the bones and they separate the one from like the from Fallon and the animals. And then they're like, okay, like, what are we going to do? We're going to go back up and go get some meat because we need meat to heal Fallon. And we get like the resurrectors or whatever they're called, the revivers. Yes. And yeah. Marcel is like, no, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to do this. And what
enough meat here.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What Marcel's specialty and what she's been learning is like this dark forbidden like revival magic.
It was just ancient magic in general.
Ancient magic, but it was like forbidden, right?
Yeah, it's all ancient magic is forbidden because it was more like inhumane. Like the best comparison I could say for that is it would be like Harry Potter if you use the Cruciatic curse for somebody on their deathbed.
Okay.
Like something so, you couldn't like completely heal them of, and you knew that they were going to die anyway, and so you used it to end their misery. That's kind of what Marcel's idea for the magic was.
So Marcel basically tells them like, you know, she can do this as like her specialty or what she's been learning. They're like, can we really do this? We need a lot of meat. And they used the dragon meat to bring this person back. When they did this, I was like, what if it's not what if it's not Fallon? what if it's somebody else? Like, what if it's somebody else? And I was like, oh, that would have been a twist. Like, what if it was like the samurai guy or like Cabra? Like, what if Cabra died again?
Oh my God.
I was like, oh man. I was like on pins and needles, like, who is it going to be? Who is it going to be? And well, lo and behold.
My other thing is, like, just knowing, like, wargs in general, like, okay, there were two of them, but there should be, like, a pack of wargs somewhere.
Yeah.
And so that throws me off, like.
Unless they died and just didn't get eaten.
I don't know.
You know.
I mean, but, maybe there was a crossover with Goblin Slayer or something.
But lo and behold, it actually is Fallon. Fallon gets resurrected and brought back. And I was like, well, their quest has been accomplished. End of anime. Let's go, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where this particular episode ends. Then we move on to episode 12, which is like the aftermath of said episode. You want to get into that, Jen?
Yeah. So we give Fallon a change of clothes and a wash and everything else, which I thought it was kind of a funny scene with Marcel finally having, because remember whenever she went to take a bath before and she's like, man, there's a bunch of boys around, you know, I can't enjoy it. So I just thought it was funny in this one. Now she got Fallon. She's like,
let's go have a bath.
Yeah. Let's go do a bath.
Yeah. Let's go do a bath. I just have to say, we finally get our nicely tasteful fan service with the nice little bath scene, you know?
I mean, we kind of got that at the end of the last one too, when she was covered in blood though.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. But I have a question. I have a have a question.
I mean, because Fallon is like more well endowed than virtually every other female character we've seen so far.
That's true. That's true. And I'm still believing that she might have, like, she might be blind. She never opens her eyes, except for when she's a child, which I don't know. Maybe she just has really squinty eyes.
I feel like she opened her eyes, but it was like, it wasn't for that long.
Yeah. But my question is Fallon attracted to Marcel? Like, does she have the hots for Marcel or vice versa, you think?
I could argue that, yeah, Marcel is attracted to Fallon.
Do you think Fallon is attracted to Marcel? You think it's like a unrequited love?
I don't think so, because I think Fallon's just that happy-go-lucky person that she doesn't really know.
Or I'm going to throw this at you.
Because I feel like that's her ditzy side, like Leos. Because remember in the last one, and her and Leos are related.
Do you think she has a thing for Leos?
Marcel?
No. Fallon.
No, they're brother and sister.
But just saying.
No. We're not turning this into that. No, I just think she's endearing towards her brother or whatever, but I feel like that's her ditziness, is she doesn't know that, like, because we're not really led to believe that she knew that Shiro had a crush on her, which is the samurai guy we haven't technically seen in the anime. We've only seen him in the opener.
The only one who knew that was, oh god, what was her name? Namari. Namari knew that.
Namari, Chilchuck, and Marcel all knew that.
Yeah.
But Leos didn't, because he's just, you know, bleak.
He's clueless, I feel like.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like that in a way as well with Fallon.
But Fallon, she tries to give Marcel some mana, because Marcel, like you said before, was mana sick. She used all her mana up. Yeah. Which Marcel was surprised that Fallon could use magic, even though she just got resurrected.
She's got so much magic.
She has so much magic. She's like, whoa, 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 I don't need it, you know? And so they have like a nice reunion, you know? And this is where, after they take a bath, she meets Senshi and stuff like that, you know? And
we find out she's just as weird as Leos with the monsters. Oh, wow, we can eat monsters?
Yeah, we can eat monsters. Because she tells, they tell her, like, they've been living off of monsters. She's like, oh, that's so cool. Even though Marcel thought she was going to, like, not like that at all, you know? Yeah. Because, like you said before, like, eating the monsters isn't, like, a normal thing.
Right.
But she heals Leos' leg to get rid of that scar. Like, that scar is, like, gone.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, it's a quick scene.
It's a quickie.
But she meets Senshi. He walks by with some like wood in his walk, and they're like, "Oh, where's Senshi?" They ask, and she's like, "Oh, he's near the dragon. He's gonna start dinner." And they're like, "He's near the dragon. Fire! We can't put fire next to the dragon." And Senshi like blows himself up. Unintentionally.
Oh yeah.
Which I was like, I thought Senshi would know not to start a fire near a dragon.
I don't know. I don't know. Cause I mean, as far as we know with Senshi though, he hasn't ever really had to deal with a dragon before. Like he's seen him.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know. So I think that was also one of the shining moments for Leos. Character development, Woot, mm-hmm. was that he does know monster anatomy fairly well, because he told us everything basically about the dragon, and whenever they were getting the bones out, he was able to put the wargs back together to have the bone anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we found Leos' specialty of not only eating monsters, but now also
knowing their anatomy.
He knows all the anatomy and how they work and different things like that.
At least for some monsters he does.
Yeah, which I mean, I think gives like a lot of info for us, because, you know, before it was like maybe he knew it, but maybe the oversight of him wanting to eat them was, you know, what we had the problem with.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, you know, them almost dying, Fallon puts up a defense barrier, which is so strong, she doesn't even have to cast it or do like an incantation.
Yeah.
It's almost like instant. And then after that, isn't that where we get the flashback with Laos and Fallon as children?
Yeah.
Or was that before? I can't remember.
I think it was after.
After? And we find out that they go looking for bugs. And it's apparently there's a ghost in the graveyard. And they find a ghost. And Laos doesn't have good luck with ghosts, it seems like. He's always getting like touched with ghosts by ghosts and stuff. Yeah. But Laos gets, I thought he gets possessed, but I'm not for sure.
No, it when it touched him, it started freezing him.
Okay, it did that?
Yeah, it started freezing him, and then Fallon ended up basically like sending it away.
Uh-huh.
And then they had to warm Laos back up.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. And like, because I thought she would like exorcised like the ghosts.
She kind of did, but it's because of her ghost magic stuff that they bring up,
And everybody's like kind of frightened by her and whatnot. Yes. And Laos isn't. Laos isn't frightened. He's like, oh man, you know, thank goodness your ghost magic came in handy. And we find out that the guy, he was tied to his body by a ring that he got. It's like a magical ring or something.
Yeah.
I think it was. And we go back and we find out that as this flashback is going on, Senshi starts making food. What does he start making?
He makes pizza. And
like steak, right?
Yeah, and he makes something. He makes a third thing, but I can't remember what it is.
It looks really good.
Because he's talking about where he, whenever he set the thing on, like the fire inside of the dragon was still technically going. Uh-huh. And it was hot, and so he could use it as an oven, and he cooked it on the dragon scales and...
So he makes dragon soup, pizza, and steaks is what he makes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
The soup's what I was forgetting about.
Yeah, so he makes that, and he's like, you know, they're like, oh man, this is so good and whatnot, and Fallon gets her first taste of what monster tastes like, which I'm glad my prediction came true. They ate the red dragon.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, so here's my question for that, though.
Uh-huh.
Since they had to use the red dragon's meat to bring Fallon back, does the red dragon's meat that makes up her have any, like, things around that?
Huh. Good question. I don't know.
So, you know, to me, that whole part with the meat and everything kind of reminds me of like Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, I can kind of see that, like equivalent exchange type of thing.
So you have to exchange this much of like some kind of a fleshy thing,
yeah,
that's physical to bring back this much of, you know, a person. True. You know,
like, are there any like side effects? Maybe.
Right. Right.
Maybe can she breathe fire now? Does she have super tough skin?
Right.
You know, so we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe that's where that big boom of magic came from.
But we finally, Laos reveals the secret. He tells everybody about the thing that's living in his sword, Kensuke. And which is a funny scene, because they're like, why didn't you freaking tell us? You know, and they start to put pieces together, like, oh, That's how he basically knew when monsters were coming and stuff, because he found out by Kinsuke. It's Kinsuke, right?
Yeah, it's, I think it's that, or like Kinsuke or something.
Kinsuke?
Like that.
I don't remember what his name is.
Yeah. I know how to spell it. I just don't know how to say it.
Okay.
Because I know it's Kensuke.
Okay. I don't. It's a little thing that lives in his sword.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And they have a funny scene where, like, he tries, well,
in this tries whole to part fight where,
Fallon.
Yeah, this whole part where Senshi got after him, talking about the monsters being dangerous or whatever, and it was like, now remember, Leos, you know, remember I had a what was it?
The golems?
The seahorse.
Oh, the seahorse. Anne,
but I can't remember what kind of, what it, a kelpie, that's a
kelpie.
What it is.
Kelpie, yeah.
You know, it was like, I had a kelpie, Leos, and remember what happened with that, you know.
Maybe you might have to kill Kinsuke.
Yeah. Well, and then after that, he almost just like was automatically like, yeah, because Fallon's like, I want to try him.
Yeah, like, let me eat him, you know?
He's like, okay. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, like, oh my
God. Wow, he completely sold that guy at the ship already.
Yeah. Which was funny. That part made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I love the interaction between Fallon and, like, Leos. It's very fun.
Yeah.
To see, like, how, like, they kind of bond over monster food, even though, like, him and Senshi bonded over monster food, too.
Yeah.
But how they do it. Like, she's, like, almost like a carbon copy of Leos. Like, yeah, let's fucking eat it.
Right? Yeah.
And then...
Well, and then the weird thing out of all that, though, is, like, Chilchuk kind of almost seems out of place, like, in the group now because of that. Because he seemed like he was pretty well-rounded with Leos and Marcel. But now that Fallon's back, it's kind of like both of them have gravitated away from Chilchuk.
Yeah.
And, of course, Senshi is the one that makes the food. So, of course, you know.
There might be, like, a third wheel type of situation.
Yeah.
Going on, kind of, you know, maybe like the groove is thrown off by throwing Fallon back in, you know,
yeah,
in the situation. But then after that, we see the remnants of Marcel's spell and the rest of the dragon's corpse, and we see like this mysterious figure show up, and it turns out to be the elf from the painting, and that's where the episode ends.
The Mad Mage.
Who might be the Mad Mage. Who knows, you know?
Ooh.
So, what did you think of these two episodes?
Everything that was kind of surrounding the dragon, I thought was really good. Part of the little extra things I felt were like a little weird.
Like the aftermath stuff. Part?
Yeah, like, I know what our goal was to go get Fallon, and I know we've kind of had, like, this bonding experience between, like, the past with her from Leos and Marcel, but
yeah.
I feel like it's kind of weird now that, like you said, like, we do have, like, another Leos slash, like, it almost seems like everything we needed in a better character, like Fallon is that. Like,
it's kind of like, you know, when
she's she's got the corniness of like Leos, but then she's got like this overpower of Marcel and, you know, like some other stuff like that.
It's kind of like, it seems like, you know, when you have like an old friend come to visit and you have a group of new friends, and the old friend tries to incorporate into the new friend circle.
Yes.
That's what it seems like to me. Because, you know, that the party, even though the party did adventure together previously, it's very much like, you know, having somebody new come back.
It's like, this is the end.
Kind of, yeah.
The movie where, I can't remember the guy's name, and then he's like, they get to the part and he's like, man, I came just to hang out with you. I hate James Franco.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I agree. I feel like that's what it is, you know.
Yeah, and everybody getting acquainted with everybody again because so much has happened. And, like, our core four is what we can call them, you know, have made such a bond that, you know, introducing anybody else like Namari or anybody like that, you know, it's a little awkward, it seems like.
Yeah.
To say the least. Which is gonna be interesting to see, like, when Samurai Man comes into the picture or when Namari comes back, you know?
Right. And what's gonna happen then?
Yeah, what's gonna happen then, you know? And yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I did really like these episodes. They pair well together. You could say technically I feel like it should have been just one long episode, maybe like not have two separate episodes.
You're saying a third, maybe all three episodes, like a little mini movie,
maybe, I don't know, like, because having to wait kind of killed me, you know.
Yeah,
but I do feel like the first part was really, really strong. And then I kind of came down off my high when it came to the next episode.
Well, and the other thing we got to remember is, you know, like the last episode, we didn't see any cooking.
That's true.
You know, so that, I mean, that's just what happened. Like, you know, we got more of the dungeon delving part of it. Of the story, even though it's delicious in dungeon, and you know what I'm saying.
I do have to say, I like, so when we first started this series, when it came to like action, I was like, oh, okay, you know, it's okay, you know, it's probably not gonna be like action heavy or whatever. But I do feel like with every episode, I feel like the action and the fight scenes have gotten better. You know, they don't overstay their welcome, you know? And, but I feel like they're implemented in a way that works.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's like enough to like, wet your palate, but not enough to like, you know, like, get you in there. It's more like the appetizer.
It's not like having one fight stretched out for like 10 episodes. Like it
spirit gets, bomb. All right. 10 episodes later.
It very much like gets in and gets out and it doesn't overstay its welcome, which I feel like works well. And I feel like it's not just focusing on one character, which I really like.
Yeah.
Like I very much like that. It's an ensemble cast. And everybody has their role. And they're used in interesting ways. Like, I would never expect, you know, them to use the cooking utensils to rocket themselves up into the air and, like, get onto the dragon and whatnot, you know?
Yeah.
And stuff like that, you know? And the twists and turns that were pretty, like, gripping, I feel like. It left me on my seat. I was like, okay, I could see like this anime pulling some really interesting like curveballs.
Right.
You know, because I was like, I don't think this is Fallon.
You're like, oh, curveballs.
Yeah, like, oh, like it could be somebody else. Which one thing I do have to say, where I wish the anime had some kind of consequences, because I feel like the consequences kind of got thrown out the window with that one episode where if you don't leave the dungeon, you can be resurrected.
Yeah.
Which kind of throws like any sort of threat out the window, kind of.
Yeah.
To an extent, I would say.
Well, and I think we found that out at the right moment though, because the other thing is like, we know this from the dragon, like if Marcel hadn't had gotten to this point when she did, and the dragon was able to digest the bones more, then there would be no way of bringing somebody back.
But what the part I'm talking about is, I kind of wanted the anime to have a little bit of like teeth and like have like Leos's actions have a consequence.
Yeah.
Like him losing the leg, I kind of wanted him to keep his leg lost.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to kind of have like a fake leg.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like when like Herschel lost his leg in The Walking Dead. Yeah. Or like when Rick lost his arm, you know, like that was a consequence of an action that happened. You know, could they fit Leos with a prosthetic leg?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. I thought that would have been interesting.
Well, I mean, you know, I think we're also about to have consequences for part of that stuff coming up, because this is my question to you. Do you think that this dark elf that we've seen that has now finally noticed this group of people?
Yeah.
Was it the spell that Marcel cast that triggered it to know? Or was it something that Fallon did that triggered it to know?
I would probably say Marcel, because her spell was left in the ground.
Yeah.
So I would say it was probably Marcel, you know, performing this ancient magic that probably hasn't been performed in like centuries or whatever.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, and the fact that like they were able to bring somebody back to life with just bones and dragon meat.
Yeah.
You know, and what kind of consequence will that have? I feel like there's going to be some kind of consequence, maybe.
Right.
Who knows? But I did enjoy these episodes. I would rate them a 4 out of 5. Personally.
I'd go with a solid 4. I know we really chatted it up, but I also feel like this one, even though all the stuff that we had in it was enjoyable with both of these episodes together, I don't feel like they packed as strong as a punch as the other episodes that we watched.
I feel like Red Dragon Part 1 had that punch.
Yeah.
But the Part 2, I feel like, didn't really have a punch to it. I'm really wondering, because technically the quest is complete. I'm wondering where they're going to go from here.
And
will it be as good? Like, will it be able to carry that weight of like,
I don't see that yet, though.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? I don't see that we're done with the quest, because yes, we have saved Fallon and everything, but I don't see us being done with this quest because we haven't made it back to the surface yet.
Ain't true, technically, yeah. But, you know, they've technically completed the main quest. I mean, in reality, they could just teleport or whatever they do with like those gnomes did.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I did enjoy these episodes. I really want the anime to continue to be strong.
Yes.
Like, I hope it doesn't lose steam after this. You know, I know you've read a little bit further in the manga, so you kind of know what's going to happen somewhat. I really want it to stay strong, because I feel like this is a hit that people, like, it's a surprise hit.
Yeah.
Like, people are really enjoying this anime.
Right.
Like, it's becoming, I would say, like, a possible classic. You know, it could possibly be one of those anime that stick in the zeitgeist of anime, like a, I'm just going to say it, like a Naruto or something like that, you know.
Oh my gosh, you don't even like Naruto like
that. I don't even like Naruto.
It's weird that you said that.
Well, that one just came to my mind, you know. Or it could be like a, maybe like a Bebop or a Full Metal Alchemist. You know?
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
And getting away away from this. I'm going to take a step away from this just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And throw the recognition of, like, the manga that was out there at the time that this has yeah. been going on, slash the anime that has been spin-offed from the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But almost anything else we've gotten that's fantasy-based has all been an isekai-based.
That is true. And we, if we don't count Goblin... We're not counting Goblin Slayer, right?
And see, Goblin Slayer is its own thing in general, because it's yeah. based off of, like, a D&D campaign. So,
yeah. I mean, we haven't had, like, a purely fantasy-based anime or manga that dealt with, like, Dungeons and Dragons-esque stuff.
Right, right.
In quite a long time.
Right. Or, like some kind of a video game.
Yeah, we've always, like you said, like, we've always had, like, the isekai aspect for a couple of years now, I would say.
Yes. Yeah. So for that and for this to stand out and also still go with the fantasy type theme and still focus around food and be able to come out swinging with the other things of us being able to enjoy, like, the monsters and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like this one's got kind of a bigger punch than those others.
I feel like this one has a bigger punch as well because the characters are honestly, like, really likable.
Yes.
And I don't feel like they kind of fall into the typical anime character tropes. Like, they kind of seem like fully developed characters in a way. If you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You know, they're not...
Well, and I also think that's because we don't have a wide cast of characters.
Yeah, yeah. And they're not like... I hate to say it. They're not like... I mean, I might get some pushback for this, but they don't seem like as, like, one note as, say, like a Monkey D. Luffy.
Oh my god, you asshole.
What?
I said, oh my god, you asshole.
Why?
Why would you say that Monkey D. Luffy is like that? He's not one note.
I mean, I guess you could say your general, like, shonen protagonist. How's that sound? Where, like, they fall into, like, the tropes of I like to fight or I like to eat or whatever, you know.
That's true.
Even though Leos kind of falls into let's eat category.
He does. He does fall into that.
He's category. Not, but he's not like a fight first, ask questions later. He's a let me ask these questions while we're fighting type of thing.
Right.
You know. But well, yeah,
we know that they're fighting for their survival, and it's also like if they don't kill certain monsters or something like that, then they may not eat.
That's one thing I also do really like. We can wrap this up, you know. But one thing I really do like is, like, none of them are, like, severely overpowered. Well, I'm taking Fallon out of the equation, but none of the core four are severely overpowered. You know,
that's true.
They're not bringing a phone to another world.
Right.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Well, like with Shield Hero, they have to work for what they, you know, accomplish type of
right.
thing.
Well, yeah. Let me point out one other aspect of that I really enjoy is, like, almost every time that they've had a meal, we've been able to account for the food that was used.
Yeah.
What they took with them, you know, what if they gave any to anybody else, like, we have an accountability of what all that food is. And when they eat, maybe it was from two episodes ago, but yeah. we do see that food decrease, which I think is another kind of hidden gem that's in this, because most other things, like, oh, I'm hungry, and it's like food just appears without, like, a reason of where it came from.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
I do agree with that. But yeah. I mean, this is a fun episode. Fun two episodes. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next in the situation or in the adventure, I guess you could say.
So you're like, next time on Delicious and Dungeon.
Next time on Delicious and Dungeons.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Senshi cooks some food.
We do know that Senshi wears tidy whities.
That's true. But we also know that Senshi's going to cook something too.
Possibly. We'll see. But yeah, this is a fun episode. Looking forward to cover more. Make sure to go leave us feedback. You can leave us comments on Spotify or reviews on Apple Podcasts. We'll get back with you. We'll talk about them on the show. We actually had a suggestion recently in one of the comments to an episode. They wanted us to review the new Pokemon show. Was it Pokemon New Horizon?
Oh, yeah.
They asked to review that, and they hope that Daddy Graves is doing well. And they...
Why are you shooting me, too? Can't win for losing.
But they hope you're doing well, and they want us to review the new Pokemon show. That was their suggestion that they had. So keep up with the suggestions. Leave some feedback. You can do so on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It helps the podcast grow. And you can interact with us on there or on our Instagram at Otakuology Podcast. The more help, the better to get the show out there. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Tell your lovers. Whatever works for you. But we'll catch you on the next episode. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.